Naturally Speaking.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Naturally Speaking Shorts. I'm Sean Killen. In these brief episodes of our podcast, we feature short discussions with various researchers, try and find out a little bit more about the research that they do and how they got into science and research in the first place. And today we're here with Paul Johnson, who's a research fellow here at the University of Glasgow. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for sitting down here with us today. Maybe just to kick things off, if you could maybe just tell us a little bit about the research that you do here.
I mean, I work on many projects. I'm involved in a project where the aim is to try to understand the spread of foot and mouth disease, and particularly to look at the sort of population genetics of foot and mouth disease by analysing next generation sequencing data.
So that's sort of your primary research area, but you get involved in all kinds of other projects because you're the go-to stats guy here.
Yeah, very bad habit of being distracted by other projects. But I am actually involved in other projects as well, officially.
Right.
But so I'm kind of a combination of population geneticists and general stats guy.
Right. You're definitely an invaluable resource here, I can tell. So what made you decide to become a scientist to begin with? How did you get into this career choice?
Well, I had a fairly circuitous route into science, which hopefully wouldn't take too long to describe. But I was kind of vaguely sciencey at school, but not really very inspired or motivated, and sort of had an abortive attempt to be a scientist when I left school, and then kind of left university quite quickly due to kind of having too much fun and not enough work, mainly. And then sort of worked in bars and so on, and for a few years. And while doing that, I sort of used the local library quite a bit. And one of the main things was that got me into science was reading The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins, because I hadn't actually done any sort of biology at school. I think I dropped it at age 12 or something.
Interesting.
And I was really kind of stunned by this view. Having had a sort of, not really knowing anything about biology, and having had a fairly kind of conservative sort of religious upbringing, really kind of changed my view of the world. And I found especially the idea that you could, by doing simple things like counting genes and populations, you could discover fundamental rules that governed our behaviour and the shape of the natural world was quite an exciting thing.
So was this during your undergraduate? Or
No, so actually this was in my kind of post-abortive attempt to study chemistry at the age of 17, 18, while I was kind of working in various bars, some quite rough in Paisley. And at about the same time, I had a friend who was an ecologist who was working in the zoology department in Oxford University. Right. And they had an opening for a field assistant, so I kind of went down there and worked as a field assistant, tracking hedgehogs and badgers and so on for a few years. And really enjoyed that, and really enjoyed the atmosphere and being around scientists, and kind of that in combination with reading more books about genetics and evolution made me want to go back to university to do science, this time with some real motivation. And so I went to university to study genetics. So that was my route into science.
That's really interesting. My next question was going to be, what makes your research area so interesting to you? But I think on the genetics side of it, you've sort of answered that. What's drawn you into statistics as your other sort of major side to your research?
Well, I started off, I did a PhD in population genetics. And I was always quite interested as an undergraduate in statistics, and carried that on by doing a PhD in population genetics. Then did a postdoc in population genetics at Glasgow, and that's already a fairly kind of numerical, quantitative area of biology. And as I went, as I kind of progressed through doing this, I got more and more into the quantitative side and the statistics, and it became clear to me that I actually enjoyed the statistics more and was better at it than I was at the lab and field stuff. So at the end of my first postdoc at Glasgow, there was a particular problem came up that I couldn't solve, and Dan Hayden had just arrived in the office next door, and I went through and said, I sort of presented this problem to Dan. I've got no idea to do what to do here. I've got to estimate these two things at once, and if I work one out, then I can work out the other. But I can't work them both out at once. And he went, you need maximum likelihood. And I sort of said, what's that? And so he, despite having no responsibility for me whatsoever, spent quite a lot of time teaching me these methods and teaching me programming. And this actually that was probably the major thing that inspired me to sort of sort of move from a kind of quantitative lab field type biologist into really focusing on statistics.
That's really interesting. Stats to the rescue in that case.
Yes.
So what would you say, what's been the most exciting discovery you've either made or been involved in?
The things that I've enjoyed doing in my kind of pre-statistics career, the things that I found interesting were a couple of areas, a couple of questions to do with sort of very fine-scale genetic variation. So in my PhD, I worked on aphids, and these aphids lived in little enclosed galls. And one of the things that I did was use microsatellites to show that there was often quite surprisingly large amounts of genetic diversity within these galls, although they were supposed to be.
Is it a gall?
A gall is
like
a kind
a ball?
Of it's a kind of plant chamber. So these particular galls were on the kind of on leaf stalks,
right.
and they were formed by a single aphid, and they would give birth to quite a large population, but they're all meant to be clonable.
Right.
And this was important because this is one of a number of aphid species that have evolved social behaviour.
Mm.
So they have effectively aphids that are sterile cleaners and defenders of the gall.
Right.
And the idea is that this behaviour has evolved in gall aphids because they form genetically enclosed populations. So it's the altruistic behaviour that a soldier stroke cleaner aphid is performing is done in the for the benefit of its clone mates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's in a kin selection theory,
right.
Suggests that altruistic behavior would be favored in genetically enclosed
right.
environment. But so from that point of view, it was quite interesting that they actually aphids moved around between galls.
So they're not all as genetically identical or the same or similar as it was once thought, and yet they still
yes,
have these
yeah.
roles where they defend each other and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. On that study, collaborated with a biologist who observed and tracked the aphids moving between galls. So it was kind of backed up by field observations.
So in terms of the work that you're doing now, what are the big puzzle areas, the things that are either you're trying to figure out or just in general in the field?
Yeah, I think it's easier to think about the things that I'm trying to figure out because I still feel I'm kind of, having come from a non-statistical background and I still feel I'm kind of learning to there are still areas that are quite challenging. And so one of the areas I've worked on quite a bit is generalized linear mixed models as a sort of generally very useful framework for modeling lots of different kinds of data. But one of the things that I'd like to do is learn to, that's a very flexible framework, and it's amazing the number of different types of problem you can solve with these within this modeling framework. But one of the things I've been trying to do is learn to model more flexibly and to kind of get outside of that framework. And that's one of the things I'm having to do enjoying doing. Sounds like I don't want to, but on the Food and Mouth Disease project is model in a kind of more flexible way. So I kind of see the challenges more as personal ones than, although obviously the field of statistical genetics and statistical ecology is moving very, very quickly, and new types of data are being produced in ever larger quantities. So there are also challenges there, and partly computational challenges
right.
in how to deal with that.
It's interesting how statistical methods have to be altered in order to keep up with what technology is doing on the side, the data collection side of things.
Yes, yeah. Although often there, the frameworks have existed. I mean, I'm probably not so familiar with the kind of machine learning, computer science side of things. So I think there are probably more innovative methods. But I'm sort of trying to fit fairly standard statistical models, but possibly to larger data sets.
Right. And then, of course, we recently recorded another podcast episode, which should be coming out soon, or I guess by the time that this airs or goes live, it will have already been posted, looking at some problems in statistics concerned with p-values and parametric analyses and things like that. And is that something else that you're interested in?
Very much so. I mean, I've kind of developed an interest in, sort of, I would describe it as generally trying to improve how statistics is done and how experimental design is done. So one of my interests is in power analysis. I think it kind of exemplifies one of the sort of problems with the way that statistics is done and understood, that it's that most people see power analysis as a kind of quite unpleasant thing that they came across in their statistics lectures and didn't really understand because it's presented in quite a convoluted way. So I published a paper with some colleagues recently arguing that we shouldn't be thinking about it as power analysis. We should be thinking about the purpose of power analysis is to ask the simple question at the start of a study: what is the chance that my study will produce any useful information? So when you phrase the question in that way, then it becomes very obvious that really, I mean, obviously people are,
should be doing this.
Well, I mean, people obviously are concerned about this, and I'm sure no one goes into a study without thinking that, but without asking that question. But power analysis provides a framework for approaching that question quantitatively.
Is this paper already published?
Yes.
Okay. We should post a link to that along with this episode then.
Yeah, it's in Methods in Ecology and Evolution.
So moving on, is there anything that you wish that everyone else in research or just anyone else in general would understand about your research, or maybe understand about statistics?
I suppose coming back to what I was saying before, is that I think statistics is quite often taught by people who don't want to teach it, especially in biology. It's quite, and at least when I was doing it 20 odd years ago, it was being taught by people who didn't really want to teach it and didn't really understand it, and it comes across as this kind of forest of different tests, and it just, I mean to me at the time it made no sense at all. Looking back on it from having worked in statistics, there's a point in kind of learning statistics where you kind of get through that and you sort of look back on it and you sort of realise it's actually much simpler than that. That mm-hmm. you can approach statistics from a much more fundamental point of view of you're just trying to use a sample of data to learn something about a general population. And it isn't really this kind of forest of different confusing techniques with names like the Wilcoxon and the what's it sort of test. But so I suppose that statistics can be a lot easier than you think. And I think sort of using simulations, and I mean Ben Bolker's book Ecological Models and Data in R, that's the kind of book that shows you how it's actually much simpler than you think, but at the same time it's also much harder than you think. So I think people can better understand statistics when they're reading it and doing it themselves, but then at the same time if you're doing something that's difficult, then you know, there are people like me around.
Right. Luckily.
Who enjoy working on these problems and are happy to collaborate. So I think those are the two things I would like to
say. So you don't need to be afraid of statistics, but you need to know how to use them properly.
Yeah.
Basically. Do you have any advice for young scientists, aspiring scientists, who want to maybe go into genetics or even go into statistics?
I mean, if you're advising your younger self, my advice would tend to be things like, you know, work harder and don't spend so much time in the bar playing team football.
But then it worked out for you.
Yes, yeah, that's true. In the recent tournament, yeah. I suppose motivation is extremely important. I mean, but I mean that's kind of obvious. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, people come in all, you know, in all shapes and sizes, obviously, and some people are very focused and directed from the start of their career. They know what they want to do. Mm. Whereas I kind of got into science, I enjoyed it, and I kind of worked out my own circuitous path through it.
Right.
So I'm not sure if there are any lessons to be drawn from that, but it's I guess it's possible. I mean, science is kind of not particularly set up for the more kind of meandering career route like mine, but it's possible if you enjoy it.
Well, I think your story is quite inspiring, actually, or it could be for younger people taking science in their undergrad, and that they don't need to know right then and there what they want to end up doing, perhaps. So, thanks a lot, Paul, for joining us, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Naturally Speaking podcast. If you've got any ideas for future shows or want to get involved, then please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is naturallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. Naturally Speaking is a podcast from the Institute of Biodiversity, Animal Health and Comparative Medicine at the University of Glasgow. For more information, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter @thenspodcast. And you can download future episodes and find more information at our blog at naturallyspeakingpodcast.wordpress.com.